Welcome, welcome, everybody. Welcome. This is Iambic Poetry Podcast. I am your host, Sharon Smith, and I got you a special treat. Coming from my old stomping grounds, the legend, radio personality, strength host, rapper, and one of the all-time favorite cities, homegirls in the world. I want y'all to give a shout-out to Rodney!
What's up, everybody? Hey!
What's up, family? How you doing?
Hey, it's good. I was just thinking, I got this. So I came over to the radio station. Nobody's here, but they have this little button here. Good. You know, old school radio style where they used to have all their box of sound
effects. It sounds a little bit more like a drill than it sounds more than a bunch of fans roaring.
Right, yeah. Well, thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be joining you today.
I know. It's you being from the 209 Stockton area. What?
Yeah.
Stockton never sleeps.
No, and it shouldn't.
Most definitely. But now we're here to talk about you and your comeuppance in the Stockton world, or even just in the world in particular. So I only know so much about you because of people I've known passed by, and we also have had a little talk to ourselves, but we never really got in depth. Tell me about yourself.
So I'm a mestiza, Mexican Filipino, mixed with some other stuff. But I'm from Stockton. My roots are from Stockton. I was born in Texas on a military base, actually. So San Antonio, Texas, Fort Sam Houston. I was born there. Nice. However, my family are from Stockton, generations deep on both sides. My mom and dad were both in Crow Valley, Southside area. They met out there. And then my mom's family moved to the west side. My dad's family still stayed out there. But pretty much, it's very interesting growing up here in Stockton. Crow Valley, Southside, mixed family. My family's side, my dad's side, they're Filipino and Filipino and Black. And my mom's side are Mexican and Native American. So it's just, you know, it was really different with a lot of like cultures and coming from Texas with a Southern draw and, you know, kind of like being laughed at. And so I was quiet for a long time. It is very interesting coming up here in Stockton and moving around the different parts of the city, going through the struggle. You know, my dad had habits that put the family in predicaments. Mm. Where, you know, we found ourselves, you know, living in motels and, you know, didn't have the best of clothes. So, you know, self-esteem, like, it was really hard growing up for me. Really hard growing up.
But,
but other than that, it actually did good for me. So,
so your family moved away from San Antonio and moved here when?
So, my mom and dad are from Stockton. My dad went into the service in the 70s. And so, yeah, I was born out there, and then I moved back here in the 80s.
Oh, okay. So you and your family moved back out here in like 81, 80, okay.
Like 85, I want to say.
Okay. Yeah, I know the 80s, because my mom wanted to move up here in the Stockton in the 90s, and it was nothing out there. It was still crops and everything. I was like, where are you going?
Yeah, definitely wasn't the place people wanted to be when you're talking about the valley. When you're talking about the valley, Northern California, Central Valley area, a lot of people, if you're not in Stockton, you're in Sacramento, for, I guess, more of a more fluid congruency of like the way the city ran. I think a lot of people found themselves in Modesto. It was more open to culture and things like that. Stockton's just been really closed off for a really long time for a lot of things culturally, I want to say.
Right. Okay. So what got you into being into hip hop?
So, I've always loved music. And I used to write. So when I was younger, I remember because my grandma was a jazz singer. She used to write lyrics. I would see lyrics everywhere. So I always thought, you know, it's like in our genes, like we should be doing these kinds of things and following footsteps of like what our people are doing. But I've always loved music and poetry. I've always been a writer since I was a little girl. 8 years old, I was writing poetry, little poems, little short stories, and, you know, found that you can use it more for expression. So, and then, you know, lyrics and songs. So I would hear songs. I would rewrite lyrics if I could. And then I always thought, you know, I could actually do that one day. But growing up, and then I ended up having like kids, like I have three, but when my children were little and I would hear them start singing song lyrics of other songs. And I was like, especially for females, like my daughters. And I was like, I do not want my daughters to be singing stuff like that. And like, I felt like I needed to be like a role model for them to, if you're going to get into music, make your music and like have, you know, write lyrics. And, you know, I thought maybe put more thought and content to it. And I had learned that, you know, there's other music that like real hip hop really does do that. Like put the message in the music, you use it to like teach as well as like, you know, learn yourself. It's just so many things. So it was just a great tool to really use it as a catapult to, you know, moving from spoken word into music. It was quite a transition, but I thought it was like the greatest thing in the world when I would see my little daughters like going around and my kids going around like singing my lyrics, because they would hear me like practicing and rehearsing like so many times and writing and rewriting, like, and then when they went to recording or whatever, and then I was like recording myself at the time, they would just really be into it. And I thought, that's a good thing. I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. Like, even though in the beginning it was like not the greatest, because I'm moving from like poetry to music, it's kind of like a different pocket, a different, you know what I mean? Like, there is a pocket versus not being a pocket.
Right.
Make your own versus like staying within somebody else's like time frame.
Okay. So you got into poetry first before you got into hip hop. So tell us about that.
I did slam poetry here in this area because a lot of like my poetry was pretty rhythmic. So people would tell me. So people were like, oh, you know, you ever do like spoken word? And I said no. And then I started like getting into the scene around Stockton a little bit in Sacramento out in maybe 2006, 2007, around that time. And I would say maybe 2003, a little bit before that. And the only reason I remember that is because I remember I had a boyfriend around the time, like, sometime, or he was kind of jealous that I was going to these things and like talking to other people. It was really strange. I don't know why, but that's where my art lives, and that's where I'm going to go, and that's where other artists who do what I do are at, so I can like bounce off and talk with them and, you know, grow. So it's been around 2003, got into that, and then so it being rhythmic, and then I really enjoyed it. And then somebody had said one time at a birthday party, like, well, just a gathering at my house for my birthday, basically said that, you know, it's really good. Do you ever think about putting it to music? And I had said no. So I said, I'd try it though. So then I had a friend, so I want to give him a shout out to Lori, you know, shout out to Lori. She was very encouraging at the time, and she was like all about music and, you know, hanging out with a few people and stuff. And yeah, she really encouraged me. I didn't think it was like, I didn't think it would be what it is now. At all.
Okay. So you went to, did you go to all the original stomping grounds, in Modesto, what's the place called? Coffee joint down in Modesto.
Queen Bean.
Yeah. Queen Bean. Did you also go to Anywhere Cafe, back in 03, 04?
No.
Cause I was in Stockton. That was a spot in, Anywhere Cafe.
Anywhere Cafe? Where was that at?
It's basically where do you know where the Baskin Robbins off of, what's the main street?
Pacific Avenue.
Swain.
And Pacific Avenue by Pacific Bowl.
Pacific, yeah. It's right, mm-hmm. Right next, right across the way. There's now a florist place right across the way from that was Anywhere Cafe, was in that little centralized area and stuff. And it was like before they put the bank and everything in there, they actually had Anywhere Cafe and stuff and a lot of things there before.
I do remember still at that time we had Impresso Coffee House that was there in the movie theater spot, and we would go there a lot. And then I think across the way, the Hookah Lounge, it's across from the Hookah Lounge, but the Impresso. And then I remember working on setting up an open mic night there. There is, and then moving forward, I was working with a friend. She helped to get one started. So shout out to Aria. Aria, the vocalist, she's out of Sacramento, but now she's in Vallejo. And she basically, she and I got together and started working on opening one up out in Sacramento, and that was called Pangea, the Pangea Cafe. I don't know if they're still around, but that one was pretty popping. She manned that one out there. I did the one out here, and then got into doing Tune In Tuesdays when I more got into music. And so I shout out to Clef Notes Entertainment with LeJay and Broke the MC. So I want to give a shout out to them, because and Apex, DJ Apex, we used to work together quite a bit at in this area. And so LeJay had Clef Notes Entertainment, so his crew, so he kind of put two and two together with DJ Apex being like the conscious hip hop male, and then me, Ronnie, with, at the time I was Lady Lyric, conscious hip hop for females. So we hosted a show called Tune In Tuesdays, where we would allow other people to come and have stage time and introduce themselves and let kind of people know who they are, you know, at that time. Yeah. Oh. At this place called the Matinees, right next door to the Impresso at the coffee house, but that's gone too.
Okay. Yeah. Cause all my old stopping grounds were the Hookah Lounge. Also Blackwater Cafe. We also hit a few spots in downtown area and stuff, but cause where there used to be the Beach Hut Deli over across the way from the movie theater. Used to be right across the street from the movie theater. Used to be basically right over where Moo Moo Cafe, Moo Moo's Burgers used to be. It used to be on that corner. It used to be a Beach Hut Deli, basically a sandwich joint.
I never knew we had a Beach Hut here.
What? We did have a Beach Hut, yes. I think they closed down like 2009 or 2000.
I was going to say that must have been when I left the area around 2009 to go to military.
Yes, so I was going to ask about that. So you went to the Army?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you went to the Army because I saw you went to Fort Dix and then you went to Fort Lewis. When did you hit Fort Lewis?
I was at Fort Lewis first.
Okay.
That was one of my training spots.
Oh, okay.
And that was 2010-2011.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Pretty cool.
I went there in 96 and 99.
Okay, 2010-11, and I did actually a lot of work out there with continuing on, because I'm Buddhist, so like wherever I go, you can find like a Buddhist community, you know, the people that, you know, that you vibe with, and they always have like these young groups for the youth and stuff where we get together and we break out in our own groups, and I remember being over there in their groups in Tacoma, and I was like, everybody got to break out in their group. I was like, you guys don't have like a spoken word group or anything? They're like, no, so I got to pioneer and start that one. So that was pretty cool. Nice. And it thrives to this day. And then I had somebody with me at the time where had musicians. So people who played music and their different instruments would get together and like work on stuff. Right. And then, so then I was like, well, we're doing spoken word and we can like kind of do rap, you know, like some of us do that. Like maybe you guys can like do a beat. So we ended up making like a little group, which was kind of cool. And we got to perform out there. I think one of our biggest performances was like 300 people came from all over the region. And it was for a special guest, Danny Nakashima. So shout out to him for really being one of the pioneers here and in the United States for the Soka Gakkai International SGI Buddhist. Nice. SGI US. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So you being in the military, you basically in there for 4 years and stuff?
I was there for 8.
Oh, 8. Okay. So how was the culture shock being from Southern California to going to cold Washington state and then going over to Jersey and dealing with the dicks over there and stuff?
I had snow and basic training, snow in Fort Lewis and snow in Fort Dix. No, in Missouri, Fort Leonard Wood. I'm good. Like, I'm from sunny California. And I am a Cali kid. Like, no, like I don't roll in the snow. Like, I'm good. I'll go play in the snow, but I'm not going to drive in it because I don't know how many times I can tell you guys, like, I'm like even blessed to even be here because I could have like just died so many times doing spin outs, just, you know, ice, black ice, just sliding out. Oh gosh. Snow is scary to me. I'm not going to lie. I won't drive in snow. Unless I have some serious chains and it's kind of like slushy or something like that. I don't want to do ice. I don't do ice very much, but I don't like hills and hills with snow. Like Fort Lewis has snow and rain and hills, or like Seattle area and stuff. No good.
Man, most definitely good. I still remember my Yakima days. Oh gosh. Still horrifying Yakima days. Yes. Yes. Most definitely.
Oh, no, good. Very memorable, aren't they?
Horrifying as heck. I can't believe we drove all the way out there.
What happened to you?
We'll talk later about that. I had some stuff. But no, being in there for 8 years and stuff, and you came back to Stockton. Did you want to stay out there long, or you just basically like, I'm done, I'm going back home?
I actually wanted to re-up, but I couldn't because one, it was really difficult for my kids. They just didn't want me going back. Like, it was difficult for them all the way around. They just didn't want me going back. So, I mean, I did it for them in the first place, like for myself and for them in the first place. And, you know, if they say it's enough, then I'm going to cater to them in a sense that, okay, I did my part. I did my sacrifice. I, you know, am able to sustain and maintain myself, like where literally I'm not trying to like get out of a bad relationship and then have nothing to, you know, I'm like lost in the sauce. Like that was the situation why I even ended up going to the military in the first place. I was like, oh, I'm not going to be like that. I need to be able to stand on my own 2 feet. If I were to like literally get up and walk out and leave the situation right now, I would have nowhere to go. It was bad. It was just really bad. And I was like, what kind of example is that even for anybody else, even, you know, beyond my children, like what kind of example is that? And that's not the way I was raised, is to, you know, try to find people to take care of me. That was out of the question. But yeah, so it's really interesting. I wanted to re-up, but then my last, other than that, not going back because of them not wanting me to go back, my last mobilization out to Fort Leonard Wood, and it was pretty much like my coming to the end of my 8 years of my contract. Something was telling me like I needed to be home with my elders. I needed to be home with my family. Like things weren't going well. Well, a week within me coming back from my last mobilization, my dad had a heart attack within that week. My grandmother passed within the year, and my mom kind of took a bad spill. Like, she's a stroke survivor. So, it was time for me to be home. So it's good. I don't regret anything, and everything happens for a reason. I just did enjoy it for a particular amount of time, and like everything that I did gain from it, I wanted to continue on with that. But there are other reasons, you know, that kept me from going back. But then looking at it in hindsight too, I'm glad that I didn't re-up because of the direction that they're utilizing the military personnel.
Right. Good question. What was your MOS?
I was a 68 kilo. I was a medical laboratory specialist. So I literally worked in the laboratory. I tested anything and everything that comes from the body. And basically, I work in a medical laboratory.
Okay.
And I set up medical laboratories and supervise them.
Okay. So basically when you say you work in Fort Lewis, you work in Madigan Hospital.
Yes, Madigan Hospital. Yes, that's where I learned all of, that's where I did my hospital training, actually. And they have one of the dopest centers. That's where they send a lot of burn patients. That's where their fertility clinic is. It's very interesting. Very interesting stuff. Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. So you coming back to this, are you coming back to Stockton? So you came back to Stockton when?
I came back to Stockton in 2016, I believe it was.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought it was earlier. Okay. Oh, so you come back to Stockton. When do you you say from that time you're with your kids and stuff, and they were doing the rap, and you basically saw that as an opportunity to change the narrative of the lyrics that are coming out by, you know, you rapping your own. When did you start doing shows and stuff? And when did you start, you know, promoting yourself out there and being a rapper?
2007. And that was like before I left. That was before I left the military.
Okay.
And then while I was in the military, I almost didn't even continue doing any of that. I thought, like, how am I going to do this? Right. I almost let it go. But I realized that was one thing that gave me peace and solace among even chaos within the green suit, you know?
Right.
And so I found ways and places to do it. So, Washington, North Carolina, New Jersey, New York, Texas, California. I performed in St. Louis, Missouri. I performed on a lot of these, in all these places. So I didn't push too hard because I don't know. I thought I needed to have somebody like help me with that. And I realize now I don't need people to help me, but it helps when people do help. But it was because I got like pretty much taken advantage of, you know. I had somebody who was supposed to be a friend of mine tell me that they're a really, really good friend and could help me out, would be my manager, and also that person was like making beats for me as well. And we had a good partnership. But then when I had given like the $1,500 to like his really good friend, who he now speaks with and still continues to like be very close and do business with, like I never heard from that person again and never got my money back. It was a loss. It was very interesting. And then other people kind of like just giving me like half information. So it's interesting. So it was a little bit frustrating. It frustrated me. And, you know, as with anything, for maybe for a lot of people, not just myself, but when people get frustrated, sometimes they just don't want to deal with it. They don't want to move forward with it.
Right.
They'll just kind of leave it stale and sitting there for a while. But yeah, when it matters, like you just can't leave it there. So I can't leave it there.
Most definitely.
I can't leave.
So,
yeah.
So with all that going on and stuff, it was that when you started your production company?
Yeah, because the name Unomine actually was when I was over at UOP. It was a clothing line that I had to, it was a project for class. And so I always liked it. I kept it. And so then, you know, you have, I was helping out people with, you know, little promotions here and there. I didn't really have a name for like any productions I was doing, you know? So since I was doing like that, helping out productions and helping people starting like different labels or whatever, and investing in others, investing in their businesses and their dreams, putting money, time, energy to all of that. And, you know, I just realized like nothing was ever tagged or mentioned, or, you know, I didn't have a stamp on any work that I've really done, I guess you could say. So I decided to kind of wrap it all up with, you know, what everything that I am doing as like who I am and, you know, what creative entities and things come out of like out of myself. So I just wrap it up under Unomine. So Unomine Productions kind of covers, you know, if I'm doing like promotions or videos or acting or events or anything of that nature. And then Rane, Unomine still covers Rane as the artist. And then Deep by Unomine is the soap line because I am a soap maker. So I also like I'm an organic soap maker. So yeah, I just threw it all under one because I didn't want them, the ideas or like products or whatever it was that I was doing. I didn't want it to just, you know, be out there like frivolously under like all kinds of different stuff. Just,
right.
I kind of wanted to kind of keep it central.
Well, dang, I didn't know you were an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
It's a little DIY work business woman style.
Yeah.
So that being your umbrella company, and everything being inside and stuff, from you say y'all, you from you doing the acting, from you also developing clothing and a clothing line, and also soap. When did you start? When I see that you've done a few songs and stuff, I see you also were a promoter for Future Octaves Records?
Yeah, that was one the label that I actually helped create and build and started from the ground up.
So you still with them or just basically part of ways?
No, that went... So, like I said, I had a partner at that time.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that company now no longer exists because Future Octave went MIA, and now you will find Future Octave something master. Somebody decided to put it under a whole different name.
Okay, yeah. So let's flip the script a little bit. So when did you become a radio personality with KXVS?
Here at KXVS. Broadcasting from Stone Tube Studios is the voice of Stockton.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your girl, Ronae, with Ronae Hour here at KXVS, the voice of Stockton. We have our artist in the house.
KXVS, now TVOSJ. When I came back, I think it was like 2017. And I was like, where are all the artists? Like, we used to have so many shows and venues and places, and I would see kind of people out in the world where it was like a little bit more like energetic. You can see it kind of like in the city. I wasn't seeing that, and I didn't understand why and where did everybody go and, you know, where was the music? And then a lot of people were telling me like they got shut down and they weren't allowed to perform places here anymore. But I know that we still have amazing music coming out of here. And then I was like, okay, not only are they not performing, our own musicians aren't even on our own radio stations. Like, what kind of like crap is that? Like, that doesn't even make sense to me. That doesn't even make sense to me. Like, how do we know that we have this much good music here and not one person like try to put it in people's ears? Like, I don't get it. So that was my goal, and that's why I did it.
Okay. Yeah, I know the local radio station that used to be there. Yeah, a lot of things changed in about 2014 or something. A lot of things were getting seriously gentrified and stuff. So it was kind of a crazy time and stuff to see things going on and then just going out the door and stuff. So yeah.
And they didn't have music here, even at this radio station. Somebody had let me know that there was this place, and I thought, oh, I'll go check it out. So I decided to come to one of their meetings, and they said that if I could pitch them a couple of my shows. So initially I gave it to them as Ronae Hour, half hour shows that I sent to them. They're like, oh, okay. So then I was given the opportunity. They said, well, we do have a show here that nobody's really doing anymore. It just kind of is laying dead, and maybe we could revive it. And it's called Rise and Shine 209. It's a show for the station. And I was like, okay. So we started it off. It was a talk show. So, to Alex Woods. So Alex, he's one of the people here that was here before here at the station. And he did sports. He ran the board and Rise and Shine 209 with a couple other hosts at the time. And then I was paired with Alex and Marcellus Flores. So Marcellus Flores is a comedian. So he, and then I was the rap artist. And then, so then we kind of all gelled. It was interesting for some time, but then everybody kind of fell by the wayside. We had other people come in to try to like work with me and maybe have like a talk show. But I realized like, I'm just going to run the music. I will do a whole entire day of just running music, because I mean, you can find talk shows everywhere else. Everybody has talk shows. And most of the shows that were coming out of this place were talk shows. And so I just didn't want to be another talk show. I wanted to be a music show.
Okay. So yeah, that actually brings up a lot, but got to move questions here. So what brought you to make the song Welcome to My City?
So shout out to Kalu, Kalu Studios. Yeah, so I had worked on my first song with Factory Fire, Sambo's Music Factory, that's Sam Patton, and then Sam Raw. So So shout out to them. And we went to Kalu Studios. And so Sambo basically let Kalu know I was, you know, one of the female artists that he's been working with. And so we were working on trying to create like a catalog for myself and getting music built up. And so Sam talked to Kalu. Kalu said, okay, I'm down. Like, let me go ahead. And he gave me some beats, told me to choose one. And he said, I'm going to go ahead and like push for the cause for you to like, you know, work on what you're working on. He was like, but one stipulation was if I give you this beat, you have to do it all by yourself. Like hook and everything, like nobody else basically on it. And I was like, okay. So it's the first song I really like did by myself, so to speak. And I was just listening to the beat, really just listening to the beat. I was commuting to the Bay Area every day. And, you know, that's just what came to my head was just welcome to my city. Welcome to my city. And then I wanted to kind of put in there that people can hear that I'm, you know, a little diverse. And so I put in there a line, basically the same line in Spanish and in a Filipino dialect and then in English. Welcome to my city. My name is Ronay.
Yeah, I saw that. Pretty nice. I like that. I saw the video today. I even saw the Filipino Plaza. Shout out to the Filipino Plaza.
Been down there so many times. Put that in there. It's a staple for us, you know. Definitely rep our city.
They're in the waterfront. That's what I'm talking about. So
shout out to the Filipino community for sure.
Most definitely. Oh, so I'll bring that back up because I remember that Black Eyed Peas did a video there.
Yes, they Bebo. Did.
They did Bebo there.
And Bebo. I was like, Bebo, 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 bebo. He goin' hiking. Bebo, 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 bebo. He goin' hiking. Bebo, 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 bebo. He go high. Filipino, 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 Filipino. Hoy pare, pakinggan nyo ko. Ito nang tunay na Filipino. Galing sa barrio sa Pangbato. Pumunta na. I want them to come back. I'm like thinking like we should have them come back and do a whole new video.
Most definitely. I mean, yeah, if it is not the whole crew, just Apple D app, just bring him back because he's, you know, he's Filipino all the way. So yeah, let him do his thing. But so I always ask questions to all my guests and stuff. Being that you've been in both areas, I'm gonna ask you too. So we have in the literary poets, the people that write in the books and stuff, write poems in the books and stuff. And then we have the performers, the stage poets, the people that do poems on the stage stuff. And we always have a thing where they always clash together, which we call the page versus the stage. So, Renee, I'm going to ask you, what are you comfortable with? The page, the stage, or both?
Both.
Reason?
I don't mind reading if it's other people's stuff. Although I'll try to like just remember it if I can. But for the most part, I don't mind reading other people's stuff and like giving it expression in the way that maybe it should have that expression, the way somebody should hear it off the page versus, you know, having somebody who probably wouldn't catch the punctuations or those expressions and like reading it in a different way. So like if I find a piece that I'm like, well, it's pretty cool, like I want to share that and I'll read it. But performance definitely is on like first for sure.
Okay. And since I'm basically doing a whole female rapper theme these next 2 weeks and stuff. So that's why you're on here also. So I'm asking all my female rappers or just rappers in particular. What are your top five rappers?
Top five. Oof, gosh. yeah, you're talking like five. Well, of course, KRS-One, because, you know, he definitely puts in not only just what he does with the skill, but how he teaches, how important the skill is, what you can do with the skill, what you can do with the music, with the words. Like, it's just, he's a teacher all the way around with it. So, yeah, KRS-One. I have, and then Tech Nine.
Okay.
Is one of my favorites. I love to just his flow and everything that he could put in there, not only just like vocabulary, but concepts. Like, good God, God. Like, that's amazing. And then the beats are dope on that, on his music and what he does. Eminem, I have to say, as much as I really don't want to say Eminem.
Oh, no.
I'm only going to say Eminem just because of so much work that he's done and, like, what he is capable of doing. Like, he's pretty, you know, he's a beast. And he's a white boy beast. Like, oh, my God. Kind of crazy. But let's see. Queen Latifah's always been a big one for me. I love Queen Latifah. I'm trying to think. Okay. I got one more. One more. I'm just like, one more. Ooh.
Anybody new that you may be vibing with you may want to throw?
Yeah, so I'm thinking like anywhere. Cause I'm thinking like here, there, everywhere, like around the world. Like there's rappers like in other cultures, other languages, you know? And, man, one more. Okay, how about, I would say local, but I was going to give it to a local person. I don't know. I don't want to put anyone on the spot. I'm going to leave that one open. Can I just leave it open? Because it could be like anything.
You can leave it open.
There's top five, but I can't really have five. There's so many. Because like, even like, I want to say Nas, but local, you got Maxwell, you got Price Ellis, you have like, people who are East Coast, other women, like, I'm not going to lie, I like DeBrat.
Okay.
DeBrat was like one that I liked for a long time. As much as, you know, I wanted to, you know, I worked hard to change the lyrics for more positive and for like a better note. I cannot dismiss like Lil' Kim and Nicki Minaj either, because they're pretty dope. And yeah, this is a lot.
I'm surprised you didn't say Missy Elliott or anything, but it's all good.
Missy Elliott is like all-time favorite for like producer, like not just her lyrics, like as a rapper, but her is like businesswoman, entrepreneur, yeah. Like producer. Like she's a whole different ball game for me. Like okay. Missy Elliott, not just her as a rapper, like her artistry. Like oh God, she inspires me like big time. Like she's one of my inspirations.
Okay. Well, Rene, since we're coming to a close right now and stuff, I'm gonna give you time to give out your social media and let people know where they can catch you at.
Okay. So social media, you can find me. I'm just doing Facebook, Instagram. I know people told me to like go LinkedIn. I have Twitter, but I don't really do Twitter too much. But it's at you know me, Nae. That's UNOMENE. So it's literally a whole sentence into one word. You know me, Nae. And then you can find Rene and just Rene, my name, Rene Cassiano. You can find that one, Rene, on Facebook. You can follow me there. Twitter, I think that's Rene209, or you know my name. But yeah.
There you go, people. You, Rene is still in the mix, Rise and Shine 209 style. But thank you, Rene, for coming out and joining us on this. I'm going to leave all the links out to everyone in the bottom of the end of the into the show notes and stuff. And yeah, hook up with Rene. And if you're in Stockton 209, Sam Raw, Awkwards, Brandon League, all the show hosts and stuff, you know, I know y'all out there. I'm still out there, 209, still signified.
Shout out Plato Vision, Sam Raw. That's where I started. How I got Rene. That's how I got my name, Rene.
Sam Raw? Oh, okay.
Because I was Lady Lyrics. And then it went from Lady Lyrics, LYRX, to Lady Ren, because my friends are just like, Ren, like, you know, it's my other name, Ren, Renee. I'm the female Ren. You got male Ren, the monster from Doja Click, but Ren, Lady Ren. But then that's where Kalu, he was just like, Lady? He was like, that sounds old. Like, what else you got? I said, well, I got Rene, because that's the name I use with Plato Vision. So he was like, that's it. So then we just kept that.
Nice. Oh, yeah. That's a little tidbit information for people. See, people, that's what you learn here. I am Big Style. All right. Y'all take care. Peace. Take care.
Take care. Shout out to A-Serious Production with Sharon all day.
For more information, please go to linktr.ee/iambiczine. IAM. BIC
Zine. Thank you.